Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include fitness classes, community education, information, and referral. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
And welcome back to Project Independence in You, Senior Talk Radio at WCWP.org. 88.1 FM, and also on their great app is WCWP Radio, and that just works as soon as you sign on. So we're speaking with Congressman Tom Suozzi, and before the break, I had to interrupt you to take a quick break, so if you want to just pick up where you left off.
So I was talking to the state about the state and local tax deduction, and you know the president has come up out with these very big and bold initiatives. I think he's done a fantastic job already because he understands the policy, he understands the politics, he understands the people, he knows how to get things done. And I was the first member of the House of Representatives to publicly endorse him when he first announced that he was running for president. He announced at 7 in the morning, I endorsed him at 7:20 in the morning. So I've always supported Biden, but even he's impressing me as far as how far he's going. And he's trying to do these big, bold initiatives. And I support the president, but I've made it very clear that if you want to change the tax code, which I support raising the corporate tax, I support raising the highest rate back to where it was from 37 back to 39.6. I support a lot of what he's proposing, not every single thing, but most of what he wants to do, especially the big initiatives he has. I support the president, but I will not vote for a change in the tax code unless it includes the restoration of the state and local tax deduction. So I've said very clearly, no salt, no deal. And I've got a bunch of other Democratic colleagues that have joined up with me in this effort. It was a very strong letter written from the New York Democratic delegation. 17 of the 19 Democrats wrote a letter to the speaker and the majority leader saying, no salt, no deal. Well, they didn't say that as quite plainly as that, but they said, we will not hesitate to vote against any package that doesn't include a fix of the state and local tax deduction. So this is a big fight we're going through now. If there is a big deal to be done, it's going to include salt. If we do a smaller package of a compromise, which I'm also working on that, I'm the vice chairman of the Problem Solvers Caucus, 29 Democrats, 29 Republicans. We're trying to actually do a bipartisan compromise that wouldn't involve any changes in the tax code. So I wouldn't be able to do my no salt, no deal pledge, but we could do some of the infrastructure stuff. So that'll be getting more interesting over the next week or so. So I know there are other topics you wanted to discuss, but I'll talk about anything you want.
Well, I think a lot of people I know, I read that you have visited the border in Texas, and a lot of people, obviously, that whole process. I tried to bone up on that topic, and I realized that it's impossible to bone up on that topic, immigration. And I looked and I see things like Migration Protection Protocol, Title 42 expulsions, zero tolerance policy, public charge policy. I think a lot of people, including myself, looked at this whole thing and thought, well, it's pretty easy. You know, why can't you just put a system in place? I would just like to get your perspective on what the chances are of actually being able to get a system in place that's manageable. That's part of it. And then the other part of it is the countries that the people obviously have a desperate need. You see that on television. I'm sure you saw it in person. They're running from gangs and poverty and fear and ways of life that none of us would want to live under. So I empathize with the fact that I understand them wanting to come here. But how does this all come about? It seems so complicated. The more I read about it, the more complicated it gets. Is there really a way? Is there light at the end of the tunnel, and how do you see it happening?
Well, let me start with some very basic things, Otto, is that, you know, every problem we face in the country is complicated. If it was easy, somebody would have done it already. Every problem is complicated, and you can't solve complicated problems in an environment of fear and anger with everybody just yelling at each other. It's just impossible. You can never get to the conversation to figure out the details if everybody's just yelling at each other and tweeting and saying outlandish things. You need people of goodwill that may disagree with each other, but they're people of goodwill to sit down across from each other and try and negotiate where they can find agreement. And that's what I try to do in the Problem Solvers group. And there are a lot of areas where I can find common ground with my Republican colleagues and our Democratic colleagues that we can move forward on things. It's very doable. As complicated as it is, it's very doable. But with every problem we face, whether it's immigration or climate or guns or taxes or whatever the issue may be, healthcare, there are people that want to keep the status quo. They like the status quo because they're doing well with the status quo. They don't want it to change. So they like this whole idea of everybody chopping each other's head off instead of sitting down and trying to negotiate with each other. So that's what we're fighting against all the time, is getting reasonable people to just sit down and work with each other. Now, immigration, you know, I'm very passionate about this issue. My father was born in Italy, came to the United States as a young boy, lived a great American success story. I've been dealing with the issue of newcomers from Central and South America in my hometown of Glen Cove back to when I was mayor of Glen Cove in 1994. This issue was roiling, people gathering on the street corners, illegal housing. And I said, listen, let's rely on some basic fundamental American principles. Number one is all men and women are created equal. It's not that all men and women with a green card are created equal or all men and women with a passport are created equal. Every human being should be treated with human respect and dignity. But we got to follow the rules. So when I was mayor, I said, the rules are locally, you can't live in illegal housing, you can't litter, you can't drink in public, you can't commit crime. But if you follow the rules locally, we're going to help you live the American dream. And I set up the first day worker gathering spot, became an indoor site anywhere on the East Coast of the United States of America, where people could gather for work in the morning. If they got picked up and hired, if they didn't get paid, there'd be somebody from Catholic Charities to advocate for them to make sure they got paid. If they didn't get hired, they could stay behind and learn a job skill from La Forza Unita, or learn how to speak English, or learn about the local community. That was 1994. It's not a new problem. It's been going on since the 80s. It's been going on since the Iran-Contra stuff going on in the death squads and civil war down in El Salvador. So I've looked at this a lot. This is a very long, detailed thing I have for you, but I mean, I got to figure out how to make it shorter for your radio show. Right, from 1870 to 1920 in the United States of America, 50-year period, 1870 to 1920, 15% approximately of the population was foreign-born. We changed the laws dramatically in the 1920s to decrease immigration. We went through the Depression. We went through World War II. We had the baby boom. By the next 50-year period, 1920 to 1970, the foreign-born population in America was only 5% of the population. Most of them were Italians. From 1970 to 2020, the next 50-year period, it went back to 15%. If you included all the foreign-born population that were here legally and all the foreign-born population that came here without the proper process, it's about back to 15%. I think America can handle 15%. And we should have a plan going forward as to how to keep a population of about 15% of our population being foreign-born. Now, there's about 1 million people a year that can enter the United States of America legally. The biggest chunk of those people come in because they're related to somebody who's already here already. That's about 700,000 people. There's a very small group of people that are refugees from other countries. It's less than, you know, under Trump, you put it down to like 10,000. It's legally and historically, it could go up to over 100,000, 125,000. It's about 50,000 that could come in legally on what's called the Visa Lottery Program, which is to let people in based on a lottery, based upon if your country's had less than 50,000 people come in over the past 10 years. And that's often a lot of people from Africa and other countries that we've never really had that much immigration from. But that's only 50,000 people a year. There's millions, tens of millions of people on that list. Refugees, there's 60 million refugees in the world. There's millions of people trying to get in. We did 15,000 people under Trump. Biden's up to 60, going to do 60,000, may go back to 100,000. Then we've got about another 100,000 people that could come in based upon their skills. There are 20 million people on the list that want to come to America based upon their skills. We let 100,000 in. So that's the legal immigration, 1 million people a year. Tens of millions of people want to come in that way. We let about 1 million in a year, most of them based upon being related to somebody who's here already. Then we have illegal immigration into the country, all the stuff going on the southern border that you hear about. Now, it's not just the southern border. Most of the people here illegally or not following the proper process are people that came here on a student or a work visa, and then when the visa expired, they stayed. That's most of the people are here undocumented from all over the world. people from the southern border. It's not from Mexico anymore, even though Mexico is one of the largest foreign-born populations in America. It's actually gone down over the years. A lot of people have gone back to Mexico because there's been more economic opportunity in Mexico. Most of the people are coming from El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras, where their lifestyle is horrific. That's where Vice President Kamala Harris just was, down in Guatemala. There's a lot of corruption down there. There's a lot of violence, a lot of poverty. We should be trying to figure out how, you know, we're trying to say we don't want to do all this business with China anymore. China's, you know, cheats. They steal our intellectual property. They have a million people in forced labor camps, the Uyghurs. They are violating the rights of the students and the protesters in Hong Kong. The Chinese are just, you know, they're bad actors and they're cheating on the economic stuff. Well, if we want to do low cost produced goods, we should be doing it in the Northern Triangle of El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras instead. And then we could still get the cheap goods, but we could actually improve the quality of life in that country in the process, and less people would immigrate here. We need to enforce our border. I'm all for enforcing the border. We should enforce the border. But it's a long border. It's 2,000 miles. There are about 30 or 40 different spots you can come across legally. At those spots, I've been to those facilities. They're old. They were built in the 1950s, maybe fixed up in the 80s. You can only get 40 people through them a day, 50 people at the most in each facility. There are thousands of people that are trying to come in. If you can only process 30, 40, 50 people. Remember the movie Casablanca, Otto? Remember yes. When Inspector Renault, you know, who got the pass? The guy that trying to get the woman to sleep with him, or the guy that paid him off, or that's how he got the pass. That's what's happening with people trying to come across our border in Mexico. Who gets
that? Was Humphrey Bogart?
Yeah. So who are the 30 or 40 people that get to be chosen to go through, to come through from Mexico every day? Well, as a result, thousands of people cross into the country illegally because they can't go through the normal process, because they can't handle the volume of the process. And most of the people that go through the process, including those ones that come illegally and go through our process, 80% are sent back. So most people don't qualify. They don't qualify to come to America, even if they are in tough situations. You can only qualify for asylum as a refugee under very specific criteria. So we need to do a couple things. We need to figure out how to get these people that live in our country now and have been living here for 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, have been living here, have been working, have been sometimes paying taxes because they got phony documentation, sometimes legitimate documentation. How can we get these children, the DACA recipients, the dreamers who came here when they were under 18 years of age, how can we give them a path to citizenship? People that we were invited here under the temporary protective status, there's about 1.9 million DACA recipients. That means people came when they were under 18, their parents brought them, no fault of their own. They've been through school, they graduated high school, they're either in college, they have a full-time job for 3 years, or they're in the US military. Let's give them a path to citizenship. There's 400,000 people that we invited here after some natural disaster in their country. So that's 2.3 million people. And then we got a bunch of their relatives. We don't have to give them a path to citizenship, but if they haven't broken any other rules, let's give them a way to be here legally, to continue to be here legally without living in anxiety. As part of the deal, help to legalize these people, some with path to citizenship, like the young people that came and the temporary protective status that we invited, as well as their family members, not a path to citizenship, but be here legally, not necessarily giving them the rights of citizenship, definitely not giving them rights of citizenship. In return for doing that, we'll do a lot more on enforcement. Let's do more enforcement. I'm all for doing enforcement. People should be following the rules. My big idea, let's create an Ellis Island on the southern border of the United States of America. Let's create a huge processing center where people can come in, they can be checked for their medical conditions, they can be processed, they can be taught about America.
I hate to interrupt, but we do have to take a break. You're more than welcome to stay and continue, or if you can, I know your time is really tight. We'd love to have you come back very soon and continue on this topic. Otherwise, we want to thank you so much for being on the show, but maybe Congressman Suozzi will stay around and finish up what we've been talking about. We'll be right back with Project Independence. Thank you.